with Alan, I'm a grateful recovering member of Overeaters Anonymous. I'd talk a little bit about how I got here, what brought me recovery, why I stay here, and I don't know where it's going. I haven't got plans to go anywhere else. Okay, so I always like to start a share with a set-aside prayer, because I feel it just settles me, and maybe it settles others as well. So I'd just like to read this version of it. There are many versions, but this is my favourite version. And I say it every day. God, today help me set aside everything I think I know about you, everything I think I know about myself, everything I think I know about others, and everything I think I know about my own recovery, so I may have an open mind and a new experience with all these things. Please help me see the truth. Recovery. Yeah, I came to 12 steps. Now, actually, it'll be 26 years ago. It's very easy for me to remember. It was in the year 2000. The arithmetic's very simple. That wasn't to OA. That was a different fellowship. I'll say more about that later. But I realized about 10, 11 years ago now, probably, that I had an eating problem. And that despite being in other fellowships, it wasn't solving my eating problem. If anything, my eating problem was getting worse. About me, I'm not one of those people who was born an overeater. I was born just a little bit after World War II, in the UK. There was rationing in progress. If you don't know what that is, the economy and the general supply of food was very limited, so you had to have a voucher to buy any food, and what was available was also pretty limited. And my family was quite poor, so we just lived subsistence living. You know, there was no option to overeat. It just wasn't a financially viable thing to do. I do remember that there were some things around food behaviours, which I did start in those years. And the most clear instruction I used to get from my mother was make sure you finish your plate. You have to leave your plate clean at the end of the meal. I was taught that instruction early, and I never forgot it. I still remember it now. I just maybe have to act a little bit differently sometimes. I lived in this rural community, and it was okay. You know, it was an idyllic, maybe some people would say it's an idyllic childhood, but I found it a little bit challenging. I was an only child. My father was disabled, so he didn't able to work or contribute much to family life. As I progressed through school, I discovered that if I worked hard at a particular study of a subject, I could actually get reasonable grades. And that was quite a revelation for me. And I worked out eventually that, well, if I get a good education, you know, I can actually leave this community I live in and explore the world. This was the early 60s, so there was a lot going on. Economy had picked up, and there was a lot of interesting things happening around, well, the UK when I was born, and around the world in general. And I did. I worked hard at school, and I got a good education. I went to university. And the first thing that happened to me, I mean, I did settle in a little bit, and then I had a massive road accident, and that put me in hospital for 6 weeks. And that was quite a disrupting influence on my life. I was young. I got over it pretty quickly, physically, not so much mentally, but I sort of learned that, you know, I'd already felt as a child that I was a bit of an oddball, that I didn't really fit in with other people. And this just made it even more so. Anyway, life progressed. I did actually okay at university, stayed there probably a little bit too long, but, you know, I did eventually leave. I got a job. Found a partner in life. We got married, started a family very quickly, and well, I seemed to be on the dream roller coaster at the time. I was probably age about 30 at this point, and we had, yeah, four children, pretty much one after the other, quick succession. Life was good for a few years, and then as things clicked on, I actually got jobs. I actually got a really job, which was a dream job, and one that many people would have wanted to have. And I did discuss it, of course, with my wife, and that meant she'd have to have more family responsibilities, but it seemed to be okay. She agreed. Money was good. My lifestyle was good. In this new lifestyle, I had an expense account. That was, I think, when food started to play a larger part in my life. After a few years, well, our relationship, it didn't actually deteriorate, but her behavior deteriorated. And it became apparent that she was had a big problem with alcohol. I didn't label it as alcoholism at the time, but I it was alcoholism. I won't go through the all the ins and outs of that, but it would be took us to a really dark place. Both of us actually, her to a rehab, and me to quite a deep depressive state actually. And again, I felt very isolated and alone. When she was in rehab, I was, as a family member, encouraged to go to another 12-step fellowship, and which happened to be Al-Anon. And I had never experienced anything like that in a 12-step meeting. I didn't say much about my early religious life, but I, at this point, I was definitely a full-blown agnostic, possibly bordering atheist. Don't think I was quite an atheist, but borderline. And here there was a room full of people which I identified with immediately because when they shared their story, it was my story, you know.
Yeah.
And my behaviours were the same as the ones they described. I felt a really strong identification, but they used this word God, which I had no inclination at all to be involved with. But I saw they had recovery, and that was an impetus for me to keep going to that program. And I progressed through it. I worked hard at it, as I've done in many things in my life. I worked hard at it, and I started to understand the steps. I think, in all honesty, though. Though I did it many times, I don't think I really got more beyond really step four or step five. Certainly never got to real grips with step six during in that fellowship. But I found out a few things. It was interesting doing step four. I did it the way of that fellowship, which was basically answer a load of questions. It wasn't the big book way. I discovered I needed to go to other fellowships besides the one I was in. So I won't list them all. I made a list for myself just before, and I made it one, two, three, four, six other fellowships along the way, all of which were interesting. Actually, seven, actually. I think I missed one out, yes. Maybe seven. And eventually I came to OA about now 10 and a half years ago. Why did I come to OA? Because why did it take me so long to realize I had a weight problem? I don't know. But I had been on diets for many years. And there were what I now know as a yo-yo diet. I tried every diet I could find. I tried every pay and weigh program I could find. And none of them worked for me for very long. I'm so classic. I could lose weight. I was very good at losing weight, but it was, could I keep it off? Could I stay stable? The answer was no, never. And so I was up and down in weight. I was never huge, huge. I don't know what my top weight was. It was somewhere, I think, just under 300. somewhere in that area, but I stopped worrying myself at that point. Never found a sponsor in those that I really liked anyway, in those fellowships, although I did do step studies, step workshops, and we co-sponsored a lot in some of those programs because there weren't many sponsors around. But I found a way, and that is what has saved me. Now, it took me, I would say, 5 years researching. By that I mean I had to really convince myself that it wasn't that my will was actually not strong enough, and that I needed that help from a higher power. It took me some total, I suppose that makes it 20 years, 20 odd years before I really got the message. Found a sponsor, got clean and sober and abstinent, and that's been it for me. Just have to keep working the program. Thanks for listening. My time is up.